when my early morning day begins and the sunlight hits my face. I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place.
Was your Friday song.
Now I've tuned to you, and the day's all bright with me. Yeah, 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 yeah. The voice and wake-up call. I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
Steve 6:11. Here's the good news. It's going to be beautiful this weekend. Golf courses are open. I might play golf on Sunday. How ridiculous is that? On February, what would that be, 20th? 19th? Yeah, golf courses, a lot of suburban courses are open now and going to be open all weekend.
Well, they should play today.
Amy Cochran needs a ride to the airport.
Oh.
Well, you can bring her.
Okay.
No, I'll bring her. I like my kid.
I mean, think about that, though. These golf courses are having President's Day sales.
How about it, right?
They are. I mean, I've gotten special emails.
Let's be honest. Lincoln could bang it with the big dog.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Be a little sloppy. Might be a little muddy out there.
You can golf.
What a beautiful day to play some golf.
I'm going to play in a George Washington wig.
And then
a powdered wig.
That'll work.
And then you can buy a mattress.
Yes, because it's mattress sales left, right, up, down, and sideways.
Yeah, Andrea, come on.
I'm in. I need a mattress.
Yeah, you same thing you said last summer. You having problems finding a mattress firm store? They're on every corner.
I know. It's just the time.
I just need
to make the time to order it.
It's so nice out. You don't want to be laying on mattresses, but it's the time.
We'll get you a mattress for your car. You take a nap in your car and a mattress. All right, we're avoiding the elephant in the room here.
Yes, we are.
Oh, yes.
Is that what it is?
And the elephant in the room is big and orange and scary. Here's your top six.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
The top six at six on 720 WGN.
How about a bonus item? Lou Manfredini will be standing by in a second at Channel 9. You have a question for Lou that doesn't involve your buckthorn, please call, because first caller always wins at 312-981-7200. I'm going to go in reverse order for obvious reasons, because we're going to spend some time on number one. Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees was in town last week, and there was a little story that a lot of you may have missed. He's a physics nut. Well, of course he is. Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees is crazy for physics. And he was out touring Fermilab, and the scientists at Fermilab were blown away by how much he knew. How about that?
That's cool.
Didn't see that coming.
Well, it's just a year or two of not seeing things coming, I suppose. That's number one. So how about this? Almost forgot to throw my paper away. Regis Philbin is 85 years old now, still in great health. And did an extensive interview with somebody yesterday who I've already forgotten, and I apologize. We'll find this.
I actually saw it. I think it was like Access Hollywood or something.
Well, I think that was an extension on the print interview.
They reported on it.
Was it GQ? I'm not sure. I gotta look it up. I don't like when people don't do sources, so we'll figure that out. But Regis says that Kelly doesn't talk to him anymore. Mm-hmm. Kelly Ripa doesn't talk to Regis anymore. What's wrong with talking to Regis? Regis has said that she was really mad when he left. And she's essentially cut him off.
It was with CNN, the interview.
It was Larry King?
Yes.
Larry King.
Yes,
well, that's not was. CNN, though.
Oh, Larry King.
Yeah, Larry King is RT.
Well, you know why? My mind is, I just finished last night watching The People versus O.J. Simpson.
And Larry King was on CNN?
Well, yeah. So that's why my brain is stuck on in the 80s today.
So Larry and Regis sitting around talking? Oh, that could take a while. Larry, she won't call. Northwestern's got to have a win this weekend, and they got to have a win against Illinois.
Go Cats.
These are must wins, right? I mean, we're talking about four of the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, do you know that 100%? Maybe not, but I
How much?
I think,
97? 97%.
I think these are important games to win.
97?
The next two. Yeah, I'd say so.
97%.
You got to win this home game against Rutgers, the last place team in the Big Ten. Then you go to Illinois, a team that beat you The only loss, really, the Wildcats have had that qualifies as one of those bad losses in the eyes of the selection committee. So you got to go down to Champaign and try to avenge that. And, you know, I think they're in good shape, but I do think these are important games to win.
What time's puck drop?
Puck drop will be at 5 o'clock tomorrow.
That's where you're
for. And it is sold out.
And
4:45 actually is pregame.
Do we get the top scorer back yet?
We will find out. I mean, it looks good. It looked good when I left the arena Wednesday night.
Okay,
so
good.
I mean, that was the hope. But
kids living in the gym now, just shooting, waiting for the call.
I don't know about that.
So all right, well, we've got your cats, and this is the run to the tournament, and we want to get it done.
And we'll talk to the coach this morning.
And yes, Coach Chris Collins will be on this morning at precisely, write this down, 7:40. Is that right? Yeah, 7:40 this morning. All right. Your top three of your top six are all Trump for obvious reasons. You know, a lot of you work for a living, and good for you. For those of you who had access to it yesterday prior to the highlights you may have watched last night or the news coverage you may have seen, yesterday's impromptu improv press conference was something that you've never seen. And I would like to say I hope we never see it again, but I guarantee you we will. Part of the problem here is that President Trump doesn't realize, and I mean this with all the respect he deserves at this point, what a jackass he is. Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't have anybody in his inner circle or his family that can tell him when he's wrong or that he'll listen to. Because there's no way, you know that feeling you get when you've embarrassed yourself? That feeling you get when you've gotten something wrong? What's your human instinct? Your human instinct is to try to correct it or hope it goes away really, really fast. Mm-hmm. He went out yesterday and told everybody how great it was and how well he did and all of that in an hour and 15 to 20-minute display of bullying, of boorish, rude behavior, combined with some really pathetic whining about how poorly he's being treated. And he mentioned Hillary Clinton 11 times
yesterday.
How about
that?
Crooked Hillary, fuck.
11 times. Now, Hillary Clinton, again, is wandering in the woods somewhere in New York. She is not the president. I don't know about you. I couldn't care less what Hillary Clinton's doing right now. I wish her well. I hope she has a nice weekend. Mm-hmm. But I don't think about her. I don't think about her ever. And this president of the United States, as busy as he has to be, apparently spends most of his waking hours with images of Hillary dancing in his head. 11 times he brought her up yesterday in a press conference when she has no impact on his world whatsoever.
I've never, ever, ever seen a press conference like this in my life. Well, of course, we're covering it in the newsroom, ready to hear a new nominee. And immediately we went from that to the Electoral College, which, again, false. He didn't have the biggest Electoral College win.
Yeah, there was a couple of things that brought up
so
yesterday,
many...
which on the surface, and this is what we have to be careful about, that on the surface that things were brought up that you go, well, it's not a big deal. It's a big deal because he is calling everything legitimate journalists do fake news.
Right.
He is responsible as president of the United States to get his facts straight. And when his facts are not straight, to take responsibility for it. He lied. He blatantly lied. He threw out again something about the size of his electoral college win. By the way, size matters to this guy. You think this guy's got some insecurities? Mm-hmm. Holy mackerel. And talked about his electoral college win. And then Peter Alexander from NBC is the guy that pointed out. Because all he did was he had his phone.
Right.
He just Googled it. He just Googled it on his phone and said, well, Mr. President, this is actually what the actual facts are. I was talking about the Republicans. Well, no, George W. Bush had a bigger electoral college win. Facts matter.
Mm-hmm.
And the only facts that matter to Donald Trump are the facts that he claims are true. And I don't know how anybody watching that yesterday, no matter how big a supporter you are of Donald Trump, couldn't be concerned, because if that guy's in charge on 9/11, we have huge problems. If that guy's in charge in any case where we have a military incursion that he's got to make decisions on and he's not willing to listen, we've got a lot of problems. I'm telling you right now, and I am not a fire starter, we should be scared, because what we saw yesterday was a guy who has significant mental incapacities who is running this country.
And sitting there ripping the media. I mean, you could take the African-American journalist. You could take the Jewish journalist. You could take every single person that he insulted yesterday. And the poor guy from the BBC asked a question, and he says, oh, BBC, another beauty.
Well, he thinks it's cute. He thinks this back and forth is cute. He doesn't. This is not The Apprentice sitting at the end of a conference room table. The entire world is watching you.
Right.
You represent everyone in America. You're not the president of Trump. You're not the president of the Republicans or the Democrats. You're the president of the United States.
How about
knock
his,
it the F off?
How about his response to Peter Alexander on that question? Because he then responded by saying that, well, someone gave me that information.
Yeah.
So he threw somebody under the bus.
Right. And by the way, his whole team is standing around. And every time he throws them under the bus, they have to die a little bit more inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you have to decide, are you going to get out or not? Which brings us to this. Oh, I got to crumple the paper. It's my paper. My paper. Somebody hand me my paper.
How's it?
Oh, there we go. Boy, I had a lot of paper to crumple there.
Well, 90-minute news conference.
This is how bad his day was yesterday. After he said there was no chaos and his operation is running like a fine-tuned machine, the designee to replace Michael Flynn, about 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon, Vice Admiral Harwood, said, "No, I'm not interested." Now, when you make a presidential appointment, you have a pre-interview. You sit down with somebody and you say, okay, before we announce this, I want to make sure we're all on the same page here. We're all good to go, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all good to go because we're going to go out and announce this to the world, and then you're going to have to go through the approval process. Harwood described it to a friend as an S show. He said, there's no way I can be a part of this. And then later on used the excuse that, you know, it's family
personal
thing and it's a money thing.
Yeah.
But Harwood said he wanted no part of it. So in between yesterday's press conference where he answered no questions whatsoever of any fact on any factual basis about Russia, about Michael Flynn, about the state of the country, he didn't even take credit for the stuff he's doing that's working, that's really good. The only thing he sort of touched on was the stock market, but he couldn't wait to get off that and mention Hillary Clinton again.
Right.
Come on, man.
You know,
this is the thing. President Trump, we need you to not suck. We need you to stop this. You've got to be better at this.
And when asked about Russia, especially the Russian spy ship that was off the coast at the time, if you're not going to tell the American people, and there's a part of me that understands that. You know, you don't want to give away your strategy. You know what's there. You don't have to sit there and chastise the people asking the questions for the press conference that you call. Not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you.
There's I get that.
Yeah.
But the spy ship thing, this is the last thing on the list. The spy ship thing's big because he literally, I really don't think he understands. This is not a video game.
No.
When he stood up there and said, everybody wants me to blow that ship out of the water.
Oh,
let me tell you something.
No.
There's not a sane individual in America who wants you to start firing on a Russian ship.
No.
Nobody does.
No.
Now, we also don't want you to just ignore it like it's not sitting 30 miles now off the coast of Virginia. Virginia, close to Washington. So we'd like some answers, and we deserve some answers. Not about your BS about the fake news media. We'd like answers about why you're in love with Vladimir Putin, why you won't come clean on that, why you won't reveal your taxes. Because I'm sorry, Mr. President, you have no credibility. You've already blown that. And when you have to stand up in front of all of us in America and tell us something, 63% of this country already doubts you severely. The other 37% is probably slipping away by the moment. Stop sucking at your job.
I do get good ratings. You have to admit that.
You have to be better at this. We'll play you some sound from yesterday in case you missed it. Not because I want to torture you, but because you need to hear it. Lou's next. Mike will be your first caller on 720 WGN. Mary?
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers. We won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show. Lou's First Call.
Live from Channel 9, where in just moments we'll be on television. You excited?
6:30, time for the WGN Radio.
You excited? You excited about being on TV?
It's can a big I tell break you something? For you. I'm worried about you.
What are you talking about?
Are you drinking the tea? Do you drink tea?
Why would I drink tea?
I think you need to start drinking hibiscus tea. You know why you should drink hibiscus tea?
I don't.
Dave knows.
It's filled with buckthorn? What are you talking about?
It lowers your blood pressure.
No, listen. Your blood pressure ought to be up. Let me tell you something.
Can I tell you, something?
You got 47 children. If your blood pressure's not up, I'm worried about you.
Can I tell you? They deliver the hibiscus tea to my house in a 55-gallon
Yeah, you
drum.
Want to be walking around with it with an IV in your arm.
I have like a tapper, and I walk when I come home. I have like a mug, like a beer mug, and I just open the hibiscus tea.
That's exactly right, because my greatest concern is that people are going to walk around and go, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You better be upset. You better be concerned. A madman's got the keys to the house. We traced the call. It's coming from inside the house.
Hibiscus tea. It's a new sponsor.
Not enough tea on the planet to settle me down. Sponsored by American Weathermakers. Let's get Mike in here. Mike's on the phone. Mike from Brown Lake. Mike, what's your question?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. So, Lou, me and my wife are expecting our first child.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Do you know if it's a boy or girl?
It's a boy.
Congrats. That's fantastic.
You know, the name Lou is not used enough anymore.
Louis Stephen.
Yeah. Oh, very
Mike
nice.
Mike guy.
Do you have the name?
What are you going to name him?
I haven't even told my mom, so she's listening. I can't.
Oh, okay. All right. Don't say it.
So I'm in total baby mode right now.
Sure.
My windows in my, I live in Round Lake. I have a townhouse. The windows, I believe, were installed wrong when the house was built in 97. Is that fixable if I remove all the drywall? They're, like, leaking, and, like, the tape around the windows is starting to bubble. Is that fixable from inside, or do I have to remove the whole window from the outside?
If the windows are, first of all, if you look at them and they at least look sound and they all operate properly, if you remove the trim from the inside of the windows, if there's trim, you'll expose the frame portion of it to see how they're anchored. Now, more than likely, new construction windows, they had a nailing fin on the outside. I'm not sure if you have wood siding or brick on the outside, but that nailing fin is nailed onto the framing that holds the window in place. It might be more difficult to do that from the outside. So taking it off on the inside, if you want to reinforce and or insulate a little more to make them more efficient, is probably the right fix. It's going to be some time to get it looking right on the inside, but you want to get all that done and make sure your wife, the pregnant one, is not there when you're creating all that dust.
Definitely. Gotcha.
Okay. All right, buddy. Hold on. Don't go away because we have for you, this is very exciting, we have the April Air Wi-Fi thermostat that allows you to adjust your temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. The bear is texting, says, "Hey, Lou, can I get some love? I don't know what's going on between you and the bear."
Yeah. The bear needs.
Congratulations.
I think that's code for me to come down to the station and give you a big hug.
Yeah. Listen, you and your hibiscus tea.
I can wrap my big arms right around you, big
I'll
boy.
I'll show you where your tea goes. and from the 269, "Hey, Lou," I love this question. "Hey, Lou, what's your favorite tool?" "Mine is my cousin Jeff." That's a good question, though. Do you have a favorite tool?
I do, actually. I have used the same, almost my entire career, I used the same framing hammer that I still have today.
Yeah.
It is a 22-ounce Estwing framing hammer still hangs in my tool bag, hanging in my shop down in the basement, and it is an American-made wonder.
Damn right it is.
Yeah.
I was in a band called the Framing Hammers.
No, that's a good, yeah, it's good.
You know, our founding framers really would be spinning if they, what? Yeah. All right, we'll see you on TV.
Love you.
There you go. That's the great Lou. The great Lou, the wizard Lou. It's a big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I listen to you.
Excuse me.
During the
Excuse
campaign,
me.
Mr. President.
Where are you from?
BBC.
Good. Here's another beauty.
I want to find a friendly reporter. Are you a friendly reporter? Watch how friendly he is. Wait, watch how friendly he is. Go ahead.
He said he was going to ask a very simple, easy question. And it's not. It's not. Not a simple question. Not a fair question. Okay, sit down. I understand the rest of your question.
Well, I would. I tell you what. Do you want to set up the meeting? Do you want to set up the meeting?
No.
Are they friends of yours?
No,
set up the meeting.
I know some of them, but I'm sure
they're watching. Let's go. Set up a meeting. I would love to meet with the Black Hawk.
He doesn't have the number. You know what you don't do in 8 years in the White House? You don't fly a commercial, you don't drive a car, and you don't make your own phone calls. You just, people do stuff for you. But, you know, I got to be honest, I have a lot of black friends, too. So I completely understand where he's coming from there. And I have a lot of Jewish friends. So since I know the blacks and the Jews, I'm right with them.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know what, though? I mean, how disrespectful to everybody in that room.
Well, that's an automatic. That's an automatic. Yeah. 646. Here's some sound from yesterday. I'm not playing this to harm you. I'm not playing this because I don't love you. It's just how you may have been working yesterday. You may have missed this. Kids, you got stuff going on in your life. You may not have heard any of this from last night. By the way, I listened to the entire press conference on the radio, which is much better, much more effective, and frankly, much more frightening because you don't have the pictures of the distraction.
And that's very true.
There's a moment, Jake, I didn't ask you for this, and I'm not sure, you may have pulled this already. But there's a moment that we got to play at some point, too, where he describes nuclear Armageddon and how bad it would be. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it would. Yeah, there's no question. But let's begin with this. Chaos? Chaos? It's not chaos.
I turn on the TV, open the newspapers, and I see stories of chaos. Chaos. Yet it is the exact opposite. This administration is running like a fine-tuned machine, despite the fact that I can't get my cabinet approved, and they're outstanding people.
You know, we're not going to litigate how much chaos is involved. The cover story of Time magazine is all about the chaos, which is what lit him up for that opening yesterday, because he was very offended by it. There has been a story that has come out, and multiple stories, every day that illuminate the chaos that this White House is under, all of it, almost without exception, created by the guy at the top. There's nobody who's a bigger enemy to Trump than Donald Trump. Of course, Donald Trump says that this is not his fault.
To be honest, I inherited a mess. It's a mess. At home and abroad, a mess. Jobs are pouring out of the country. You see what's going on with all of the companies leaving our country, going to Mexico and other places. Low pay, low wages, mass instability overseas, no matter where you look. The Middle East, a disaster. North Korea, we'll take care of it, folks. We're going to take care of it all. I just want to let you know, I inherited a mess.
This is, if you go back to when President Obama for the first 2 years kept harping on the mess that he inherited, it got really, really old. Mm-hmm. Because the fact is, it doesn't matter where Hillary Clinton is. It didn't matter then where George W. Bush was. You got the gig. Okay, you inherited a mess. Congratulations. Fix it. And the people at PolitiFact who do fact-checking all the time, and they are very fair. They are very unbiased. Fair, one of the president's favorite words. Said this is just absolute nonsense. If you look at the economy, if you want to answer the question, you look at the economy that Obama took over in 07 and 08 compared to the economy and the trend it was on that was handed to Trump, and that's not even close to a mess. Now, he's not wrong about the Middle East. The Middle East is absolutely a mess. He's not wrong about a lot of these things. But again, he's his own worst enemy, because the thing that he should be patting himself on his butt for is that Wall Street has roared. Mm-hmm. Wall Street, in anticipation of less regulation, which he has promised, and he signed the executive order that says for every new regulation, we're going to peel two back. There's way too much regulation in government. He's 1,000% right about that, and he ought to be proud of the fact that he's trying to do something about it. That was 0.1% of yesterday's discussion, because the rest of it was about Hillary Clinton and how much the press sucks.
And plus, I wouldn't call 11.3 million new jobs created under President Obama a mess.
No.
Yes. There are issues. There are things that need to be fixed and repaired and worked on. But you didn't inherit a mess.
Well, the country is. He's not even focused on the things he did inherit that are a problem. But you didn't inherit anything.
No.
The job started when you took the oath. Stop talking about stuff in the past and start fixing what's in front of you. You've done a few. Keep going, and stop holding press conferences. The big question, of course, yesterday was Russia. And I give President Trump credit for standing up and taking questions, not for raising my blood pressure, not for not answering the questions, but at least he stood up and he took him. Let's talk about General Flynn.
I asked for his resignation. He respectfully gave it. He is a man who there was a certain amount of information given to Vice President Pence, who's with us today. And I was not happy with the way that information was given. He didn't have to do that because what he did wasn't wrong. What he did in terms of the information he saw, what was wrong was the way that other people, including yourselves in this room, were given that information.
It's complete BS. These are the facts. General Michael Flynn called his Russian counterpart at the end of December. The FBI came in to the president, President Obama, before he left office, and President-elect Trump, and let them know, let both of them know, that they had information that said General Flynn was on the phone with his Russian counterpart talking about the sanctions. After the Flynn phone call the next day, Vladimir Putin, again a fact, decided not to deport any of the Americans, like Obama had some of the Russians here, and everybody was surprised by that. Well, the only logical explanation on not taking that reflex response that's been always taken by Russia is because General Flynn, at the urging of Donald Trump, made a deal that said, we're going to fix this when we get in. And then Putin made his decision. Also, since Donald Trump knew about General Flynn calling the Russians in January, why did he wait until Monday to ask for Flynn's resignation? And why didn't he tell Vice President Pence that he was lied to before then? None of those questions were answered yesterday. We got to take a break for traffic. We'll come back. We'll talk about Russia. Russia. You know, it's all a ruse.
And, you know, you can talk all you want about Russia, which was all a, you know, fake news fabricated deal to try and make up for the loss of the Democrats, and the press plays right into it. In fact, I saw a couple of the people that were supposedly involved with all of this. They know nothing about it. They weren't in Russia. They never made a phone call to Russia. They never received a phone call. It's all fake news. It's all fake news.
You got to make a choice. You got to make a choice on who you're going to believe. Every intelligence agency that has put out reports on this, that spend their time trying to protect this country, that put their lives on the line for you and your family, or President Trump. And you shouldn't have to take sides, but the sides that were created by this president. It's just absolutely outrageous. There is no fake news when it comes to Russia. There's only the real stuff. Fake news? No. Never happened.
And the CIA and the FBI did corroborate early on, after President Trump's inauguration, that Russia meddled in the U.S. election.
Yes.
That is a fact.
Yes, and there's been corroboration that people on Trump's staff talked to Russia. Now, we haven't seen the transcripts. You haven't. I haven't. But the fact is they have. And he didn't come clean on that yesterday. And by the way, he doesn't have to come clean, but you know what he has to say is, there are certain things that are classified that can't be discussed here. But of course we're investigating this because it would be completely wrong for any of this to have gone on. Did you hear that yesterday? No, of course you didn't. Not a word of it. We have the Jim Acosta thing from what's next? I forgot which number I gave you.
There's so many to choose from.
Yeah, it's just,
it's like fodder for hours.
This is one of the more amazing moments. When the discussion of leaks and fake news come up. Now, think about this. The definition of a leak is it's information that is leaked out that is then reprinted or rebroadcast or put up on the Internet.
Like WikiLeaks.
Okay, but if I leak that your name is Andrea Darlis, that's a fact.
Right. And now it's been leaked, but it's a fact.
It's a fact. So the leak is, in fact, factual. Listen.
Well, the leaks are real. You're the one that wrote about them and reported them. I mean, the leaks are real. You know what they said. You saw it. And the leaks are absolutely real. The news is fake because so much of the news is fake. So one thing that I felt it was very important to do, and I hope we can correct it, because there's nobody I have more respect for, well, maybe a little bit, but than good reporters. It's very important to me, and especially in this position. It's very important. I don't mind bad stories. I can handle a bad story better than anybody.
Wow. The leaks are real. The news is fake. You can't do that. That's square peg, round hole stuff.
Completely.
There's a point in history which is rather remarkable where LBJ turns on the news one night and Walter Cronkite is talking about classified information on Vietnam. And LBJ says to staffers, I've lost Cronkite. If I've lost Cronkite, I've lost the country. Yesterday, officially, Donald Trump lost Fox News. If he's lost Fox News, who, by the way, he referenced in the middle of his Cirque du Soleil, he referenced as really fair, really fair. Well, we'll see what he says about Shepard Smith today.
Jim Acosta over there from CNN, an accomplished reporter, a guy I've never met, but a good reporter. I mean, treating him like he's, I'm not even going to use the word. I'm not going to give Twitter its the love it needs. It's crazy what we're watching every day.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy. He keeps repeating ridiculous throwaway lines that are not true at all and sort of avoiding this issue of Russia as if we're some kind of fools for asking the question. Really? Your opposition was hacked and the Russians were responsible for it and your people were on the phone with Russia on the same day it was happening and we're fools for asking the questions? No, sir. We are not fools for asking this question, and we demand to know the answer to this question. You owe this to the American people. Your supporters will support you either way. If your people were on the phone with her, what were they saying? We have a right to know. We absolutely do, and that you call us fake news and put us down like children for asking these questions on behalf of the American people is inconsequential. The people deserve that answer, at very least.
Shepard Smith, that Fox
is News. Summed up beautifully.
Yeah, no comment.
There's no such thing as fake news. No. That would be called slander or libel, and it's ridiculous that it's even a term.
And that's Shepard Smith yesterday afternoon after the Cirque du Soleil press conference ended. Mr. President, please, you're running out of time. And I mean that literally. You're running out of time to do this job and to do this job effectively. Stop worrying about Hillary Clinton. Stop doing anything and thinking about anything from the past. You are the legitimate president of the United States. Grow up and act like it. More in a minute in the news next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
He is looking good.
You hear that, baby? We got a boy.
He's not right.
Some oxygen for her, please.
So what's happening?
Your wife is in distress, stop. Jack.
Clip from This Is Us.
36 years ago, you left me at the front door of a fire station.
To lose the damn weight.
We lost the third baby, but you have two healthy children, Jack. In the night
sky. I quit.
Screw you.
You want to meet your grandchildren? I won't give
up. Us, smash hit for NBC. One of the most creatively written story concepts in TV in forever. The show's called This Is Us. Most of you have seen it or certainly know of it. And one of my favorite characters that I've seen in TV in years is about to die. It was teased last week. The dad's going to die. I don't like when dads get killed in general. I just feel like, hey.
Oh, my God.
You're taking one of our own.
The last episode, I mean, you knew
don't
early,
tell me, Andrea.
Well, they
I'm
don't
not,
give it
no,
up.
No, I'm not. They don't give it away. Up. You know early on that he passes away. You learn that in, like, the fourth episode.
Oh, yeah, right away.
So, but you don't know how. So
but they tease
yes.
the daughter.
And then did you see how the... It was
no,
like,
I didn't watch
it.
This
no, no, no. It wasn't this week, Mary. It was a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And they showed they were at the cemetery. I
yes.
lost it.
Well, they
I
keep teasing
cried.
It, right? They keep reading about bringing it up. How,
I know.
How did he die?
But
how did
having
he die?
Lost yeah. my dad, I just
sure.
I completely lose it every week on that show.
It's
Kim
great.
Kim Potts, phenomenal guest. Kim, text in your questions to Kim. We'll get to as many as we can at 312-981-7200. She's at TV Screener. She's a TV gal. Are you still at Yahoo, or are you taking this thing global?
Hey, Steve. I'm still at Yahoo.
Okay, good, 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 good. So you can read her stuff at Yahoo. Listen, I don't get wrapped up in shows that much because, you know, because of the schedule we're on, I have to go to bed at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The dad on this show, I love the dad on this show, and they killed him, or they're going to kill him.
They are, and that's the big question everybody has right now. How did Jack die? What, you know, are we going to find that out? There are just a handful of episodes left this season. But, man, you know, I have to stop myself from sobbing just at the audio mm-hmm. you're playing from right. the show. Every single episode just crushes you, and you love it, but it breaks your heart at the same time. And I think Sterling K. Brown is probably the most compelling actor on TV right now. I mean, the whole cast is amazing, but It definitely is that show that sticks with you every week.
Is Sterling K. Brown the guy that can get Trump a meeting with the Congressional Black Caucus? Just curious.
That's a good one.
Yeah, by the way, that is the scariest thing I've seen on TV all season, the press conference yesterday. All right, so here's what we'll do. We got a break for traffic. We'll come back. We'll get the questions in. We got a bunch of staff questions. Every time, Kim, you're on, everybody goes, no, I want to ask her. No, I want to ask her. We have a fight in the hallway. People get hurt. So we'll get our staff questions. Yeah, it really is. We should film it. We'll get our staff questions in, and we'll also get a bunch of listener questions in because you guys are more important. Really, you are. Okay, the lovely and talented Kim Potts joins us at TV Screener. Let's run through our questions first, starting with you, Andrea Darlis. I'm sure it has something to do with Juliana Margulies.
It actually does not, Steve.
What?
It has nothing to do with The Good Wife. It has to do with The Good Fight, of which Juliana Margulies is not the star. Christine Baranski is the spinoff. You knew it was coming, Kim.
Is
good, bad, ugly?
Good. In fact, I think that CBS very wisely chose this series to try to lure people into paying for their digital, the CBS All Access digital platform. It's a good show. Diane, I think everyone would have assumed she was a character, if not the only character, that really could have built a spinoff around, and it's great.
It's going to be, or is it on yet, or it's going to be on?
Sunday, I think it starts, right, Kim?
Right. On Sunday, they're airing the first episode on CBS. As a teaser, and then after that, for episode two, it moves to the All Access platform, which I think is $5.99 a month with limited commercials, and then I think like $10 a month if you want everything commercial free. So, you know, they're hoping that is enough to draw people in. They have another Star Trek spinoff coming up, an original series. So, you know, they're definitely creating content just for that.
You have a follow-up?
Not on that. Homeland is my other question for you, Kim. I'm an episode behind, but I'm loving this season, how it's back in the States. And Carrie and Quinn seem to have a little bit of a moment a few weeks ago. Is that going to happen this season?
You know, my gut feeling is no. I don't think that's where their focus is. And I think, I think that was definitely a possibility in the past, obviously. But I think they're really focusing on his issues, her guilt over what he's dealing with. And now, and I have to say, you should really watch last week's episode before anybody spoils it for you, because there is a major, major crazy ending that's really going to set the tone and the storyline for the rest of the season. I don't think so, but Rupert Friend as Quinn, he broke your heart every minute he was on screen those first few episodes, right?
Right.
And now, though, he's kind of gotten some of his old skills back, and he's right in the thick of the major storyline that just sparked.
Okay, good.
Dave, you have a question about a pervert show on cable?
No. Well, I don't. Wouldn't call it that. Well, Billions, I was the lone wolf here who liked Billions, if you remember, Kim, and I'm so glad it's coming back. Can they possibly make Bobby Axelrod more evil than he already is?
You know what? I was with you with season one. I stuck with it, and I thought it got better and better as it went along. I've seen the first four episodes of season two, and I love it this season. I think it's way better. I think it was a matter of having to establish a lot of things in season one, which can always get people bogged down. But now we know these characters, and they can really jump into just how, I won't say rotten, but I will say they continue to be very obsessed with each other.
Well, isn't that part of the problem, though, is that nobody's likable?
It is, but, you know, I think they've kind of found a way to make them more entertaining in their unlikability, at least.
I guess that's hypocritical of me, because I like House of Cards. There's nobody likable on that either.
Yeah, right.
Paul Giamatti is great in everything. Is he still still on there? He's going to run for governor or something? Or what was his deal?
Absolutely. absolutely. He and Axelrod are battling each other. Chuck is the Giamatti character. He's kind of trying to find a way to bounce back from the career and personal dramas that his obsession with Axelrod caused him. I will just say there's a great scene. I think it's episode 4 where they have a showdown at Axelrod's office, and he comes in wearing a Megadeth t-shirt, and it is the funniest, craziest thing I've seen on the show yet, and I loved it. So if for no other reason, make it to episode 4 to see that. And yeah, it is. It's just more fun this season.
Are they going to tone down his kinky stuff that really bothered Steve in season 1?
Well, I have to say that was not anything appealing to anyone. I agree completely with Steve. And if I remember correctly, the first 4 episodes, there really isn't anything like that.
Good.
All right, maybe I'll come back then.
Yeah.
I mean, because the problem was he was on camera while all that was going on. And I like Paul, but come on, stop it. Mary Vandeveld, what are your TV concerns?
Yes. That crazy show, The Mick. I don't know if anybody else is watching.
It's funny.
The sitcom. It's funny. It's so highly inappropriate.
Oh, yeah.
And I keep watching it. I feel for that little kid's future life.
Yeah, it makes bad moms look like a PTA
yes.
meeting.
Is it? Do you think it's going to last?
You know, I think it is. It's had pretty good ratings. I love it that Caitlin Olsen is finally getting this network level exposure. She's always been so amazing on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. She's one of the best physical comedians. She actually broke her neck doing her own stunt on an episode
really?
Of It's Always Sunny. Yeah, she ran. She refused to use a stunt double. She ran headfirst into a parked car and actually broke her back in filming an episode. She's just, you know, she's willing to go there for the comedy.
She's hilarious.
She is great. It is a non-favorite of the Parents Television Council, which I'm sure will not come as a surprise to anybody who's watched it. You know, they're very against the children being put in adult situations. But I, you know, people want that kind of irreverent humor, I think.
I agree. But, oh, good. I'm glad it's going to last.
Follow up, or are you good?
Well, I have a lot of follow ups, but
you only get one. You only get one.
Okay. I'm looking forward to the Fargo. Is Fargo coming back?
It is. They actually started filming in January for season 3, which sounds amazing. It stars Ewan McGregor playing two brothers who are not twins. One is known, is very successful as the parking lot king of Minnesota, and his younger brother is not so successful and is quite bitter about his older brother's success. So Carrie Coon, who is so great in The Leftovers, Jim Gaffigan also co-starring. So it promises to be another crazy, offbeat, wonderful season.
Speaking of Gaffigan, is his show not coming back?
It's not, unfortunately. You know, that was such a great show.
Yeah, it really was.
And he and his wife put so much into it, had all those great guest stars. But I think, it was a lot for him to do with his family and touring, continuing to tour as a stand-up and guest starring in things and writing books. So,
oh, get over it, Jim. Oh, please, Jim. I'm doing 4 hours a day here. Walk it off. The Nick.
The Mick?
The Nick. Oh, they just talked about the Nick. I missed it.
Yes, I'm confusing. Everything's sounding alike.
No, the Nick. No, I'm talking about the Nick, not the Mick. The Nick,
as
in the New York Knicks.
He hosts overnights.
Yes.
Wow. Here on WGN.
Yes, coming back for another season. Speaking of things that are difficult to watch sometimes, those old school surgeries and the tools they use. But yes, coming back for another season.
Well, Anthony Hopkins will be back on Westworld season 2. These are all texter questions.
Yes.
Is Ryan Murphy. I love our text system. I've never mentioned that, have I? I literally just lost the question. I apologize to the texter. Ryan Murphy going to do a story based on the presidential campaign and the American Horror series, and is there going to be a tie-in?
Yes, he is doing season 7, which is scheduled right now to premiere in September. Sarah Paulson and Evan Peters are back. Ryan Murphy says it will revolve around the 2016 election, and it may even include a character based on Donald Trump.
And let me run through a couple others here in the lightning round. Bates Motel.
Ooh, yes. Returns on Monday for the final season. It's fantastic. their best season. They had their best season with season four. This promises to be great again. Rihanna is guest starring as Marion Crane, the character from the Psycho movie. So that's all going to tie together, maybe not in an exact way, but they definitely are paying homage to that. And we'll kind of see where Norman Bates ends up at the end of season five.
Big Little Lies getting a lot of pub. Is that going to be a thing?
Yes, it starts this Sunday on HBO, the miniseries adaptation of Leanne Moriarty's best-selling book, Reese Witherspoon, Nicole Kidman, Laura Dern. It's kind of, there's a big murder mystery. It's seven episodes written by David Kelly. If you want a short description, I would say it's Desperate Housewives with an Oscar cast.
Nice pitch. Curb Your Enthusiasm, back when?
We have no idea. We just know that Larry has agreed that it might actually come back.
Yeah, I suppose I heard they're actually shooting. Blacklist Redemption. That's the spinoff of Blacklist, right?
Right. That premieres on Thursday. Revolves around Ryan Eggold's Tom Keene character, which I think at this point, even though we all love James Spader, Tom Keene and Ryan Eggold are the ones who've kind of broken out and are fan favorites. So they decided to give him his own show.
I don't know what this is. Lady Tango in Halifax?
Lady Tango in Halifax.
When is Lady Tango? Oh, Lady Tango must be the character. Is Halifax a series? When is it coming back, Kim? Tell me.
I am going to have to look that one up.
Okay, you'll let us know, but thank you for that.
I will.
And what was your?
And House of Cards. When is that coming back, Kim?
Ooh, House of Cards.
It's not till like May or something, right?
Oh, not till May.
It is May 30th.
Oh.
I know. It usually is back by right around this time, usually around Valentine's Day. Season five, we're going to pick up where we left off. We don't know a lot. We know that the original showrunner, Bo Willimon, season four was his last, so there's new showrunners this season, but they have been with the series, so we shouldn't expect.
They just have a camera following Trump around. That's all. That's how it goes.
Night Manager, Kim, is that just one and done?
No, you know, it would seem like it, but both Tom Hiddleston and Hugh Laurie have said that if people can convince John Le Carre to write a sequel novel, that they would actually definitely come back and film it. So it kind of all depends on whether he'll write a sequel, which he hasn't done. But I think he's kind of expressed some interest, too, just given the reaction to the series. So
that's great news. That was a
great show.
It won a lot of awards, too.
The acting and tech crews of Chicago certainly appreciate all the Dick Wolf work that's been created here.
Big time.
Chicago Justice will be next. Is that right?
That's right. A fourth series in the Dick Wolf Chicago franchise. This one's kind of a special one because the main character, who's an assistant state attorney, his name is Peter Stone. His father is Ben Stone, who was the original assistant DA character on the original Law & Order series. So it's a great tie back.
Yeah, perfect.
That was the character. Yeah, a great tie back to Dick Wolf.
And I'm still pitching Chicago Ear, Nose, and Throat Specialist. They said the title's too long.
That might be around.
Bull doing okay? That's a good show.
Bull is doing okay. I'm pretty sure it'll be renewed for next season.
And Designated Survivor, I know, is coming back. So let me just wrap this up with the Oscars. I love that Kimmel's hosting, but some people I hear are nervous.
I think they should be nervous. I think that's good for the audience, especially those of us who are going to try to sit through yet another award show. I think Kimmel is the best option for us to be entertained. I think people should be a little nervous. I think it's likely to be a super political show, and I think that some people are very tired of that. I think some people are very tired of hearing what Hollywood thinks about anything political related. I don't think that's going to stop them from saying a lot of political things. And Kimmel is the one person who may be able to kind of rein the circus in.
Last Tango in Halifax, BBC show. So it must be on BBC America. At least we hope it is. About a couple that is reunited after 50 years apart and all the drama in the family. Or comedy, because I haven't read much beyond that part of the description. I'm sure it's one or the other. Kim, where do we follow you?
Follow me on Twitter at TV Screener and read me and my wonderful colleagues at YahooTV.com.
I just read Kim.
Woohoo!
Three straight on. Goal! Panthers no good. Ball game over and the Wildcats win.
7:44. How do you know that Chris Collins and Northwestern have built a hot basketball program in Chicago? The Rutgers game is sold out.
That's right.
Right?
All remaining tickets are sold out for the last three games.
That's tremendous. Coach Chris Collins joins us now, and of course we will have that game here with the voice of Dave Ennett. Oh, is that a Hawks game on?
Yes.
Okay, we'll have that game with the voice of Dave Ennett. Check your local listings. I got so excited, I got ahead of myself. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We are fine. Congratulations. It's been, I know, a roller coaster week, but you got them right where you want them. Just got to take care of a few more games here.
Yeah, we got to keep plugging away. We just went through a couple weeks where we had a really tough schedule. We played the three teams that are ranked in the top 20 in our league. We played, all three of them in the last 2 weeks and, mixed in with the interstate rivalry game with Illinois. So a little bit of a difficult schedule here. We were able to get a big win in Madison last Sunday, which was big. And hopefully we'll be getting our leading scorer back here soon in Scotty Lindsay, which I think will be a big boost to the team.
And he's feeling up to snuff. He's game ready.
We're still hopeful. We haven't gotten the final word for tomorrow yet, but he's back with the team and been working out and feeling pretty good. So we're keeping our fingers crossed. Maybe we'll have him available tomorrow for a little bit to help us.
You look at the Big Ten standings this morning, Coach, and you have seven teams within three games of first place. The national perspective has been, well, the Big Ten's kind of down this year. How do you see it from within? Is it that teams are just knocking each other off because you got a bunch of teams that are pretty evenly matched?
Yeah, I think we're getting a little bit of a bad rap nationally because maybe there hasn't been those elite teams that have just separated themselves from the pack. I think there's a lot of teams that are just very good teams that on a nightly basis, anyone can win no matter where the game is. And part of it now is, a lot of teams have had injuries, have had guys missing games. So it's kind of when you catch a team, how teams are playing. You've seen some teams, like for us, we went on a six-game winning streak, then you drop a couple, and now you try to kind of get it back again. The same thing with a lot of the teams in the league. So all I know is, it's incredibly difficult conference to play in, to coach in. Every game is tough. Every team is well coached. Every team has talent, and makes it really, really difficult. It's a very taxing league. It's after you play these games, the day after the game, your guys are just spent because if you want to put yourself in a position to win in the Big Ten, you gotta give everything you got for 40 minutes.
Wisconsin was your most important game of the year on Sunday. Maryland was your most important game of the year on Wednesday, and now Rutgers is your most important game of the year, right?
Yeah, absolutely. When you get to this type of time of the year, and it's something that we were striving for when I first came 4 years ago, is you want to be in a position in mid-February, late February, early March, where the games matter. And they do for us. We put ourselves in a position now where every single game matters. It doesn't matter who you're playing. The fact too is, we lost the game the other night. You want to get back on the winning track. So the most important game in all of our minds right now is tomorrow. We're playing at home. We've dropped a couple home games in a row, which you never want to do in the conference. And we're really motivated to get back out there tomorrow and hopefully get a chance to win on our home floor.
The guys, I'm sure, are excited, but the whole campus and the Chicagoland area are getting more excited by the moment because, we've waited a long time to have an exciting, tournament-ready college basketball program in Chicago. The city deserves it. You guys deserve it for all the hard work you're doing. So finish this off, Coach.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. It's been fun. The crowds have been awesome. The support, it's been great. You guys, obviously, your support with us has been awesome. And got a couple weeks here. Hopefully we can finish strong and keep doing some good things.
Do you get hungry during the game? Because, the fans might run out and get you a snack if you need something.
I know that they would. Fortunately, I'm locked in. So the hunger, I try to do a good job during the day, mm-hmm. keeping myself hydrated and and nourished so that I can get through those 2 hours without the snack.
What's America's greatest athletic director, Jim Phillips, eating over there? Dave, isn't he on your side?
Yeah, he's behind me. I don't see him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What about your dad? Your dad scarfing down a dog during the game?
No, he's pretty locked in too. He's sweating too much to eat, so all he's got is his towel there to wipe the sweat off the brow while he's going nuts there for 2 hours.
Yeah, he can't sit there and just enjoy the game, can he?
Not at all. You know, being a coach yourself, you think too much like a coach. You can't. You know, there's no way he can sit there as a fan. So it's pure torture for him.
Well, I look forward to your stress level increasing, but not for too long, because I'd like an easy one tomorrow night and a good romp on Tuesday, and let the roll continue.
I appreciate it, guys. Always great being on the show.
See you, bud. That's Coach Chris Collins. What a great job he's done in a couple of years. Huh?
A tremendous job. Yeah. And this team's had a great season. And, you know, they got 5 games left, and it's important at this point. Like he said, I mean, you got to beat Rutgers tomorrow. You go to Illinois on Tuesday. You go to Indiana the following Saturday. And, I mean, they've shown they can play with anybody, and they can win big games on the road, which is – they've been a good road team all year, and that's important.
And we've taken Scotty Lindsey out of his dorm room. We're having him live in a hyperbaric chamber for the rest of the season, so he can't be exposed to anyone who could make him sick.
And again, what he said was that they're hopeful.
Sounds like
they haven't gotten the official word
yet. Sounds like he's going to play. Yeah.
Hopefully.
I remember the last time I heard this, I thought, I don't ever need to hear this again. What's the name of the girl that sang this? Rebecca Black. What happened to Rebecca Black? Did they have, like, you know, when you go to Memphis, you have Elvis and Graceland? Is Rebecca Black's house a museum, a tourist stop somewhere?
Right.
Not so much.
Poor thing. She heard you. She got insulted.
Well, you know what it's like. It's Friday, right? So Friday night, what happens? People look at each other. They go, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? You want to get something to eat? I don't know. You hungry? Yeah, I might be hungry. Where do you want to go? I don't know where you want to go. You want to go to a movie? What do you want to do? What do you want to do? You got a list of things we can do?
I got a list of great things
that you can do
this weekend. It's
sponsored by Majestic Star Casino.
Yeah, we thank our friends at Majestic Star Casino. You can always go to the Majestic Star Casino. There's a lot going on this weekend, Steve. First of all, we'll do the gratuitous plug. Patty Vasquez and I hosting the Artful Women Series at the Rao Center. That'll be on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Good.
There are still some tickets available. Come on out and see us.
Now, what are you going to be talking about?
We're going to be talking Artful Women. Mm-hmm. Patty's going to be talking
women
about
in the arts?
Women in broadcasting is what it's going to be. Patty is going to come at it from the vantage point of she started out in comedy, mm-hmm. and I, of course, started out in journalism. So
are you going to pick apart other women in the business?
No.
Because that'd be fun for people to listen to.
No, we are not. We're all friendly competitors, and we're all friends. But it should be a great time, and it's going to be a fun segment at the end.
I mean, do it the way you want to do it, I guess, if you don't want to pick apart other people.
No. It'll be a lot of fun, so we hope to see you all out there. The Village of Homewood, how cool is this? This makes everybody happy, hosting their annual Chocolate Fest. That'll be at the Homewood Flossmore Park District Auditorium on Chestnut Road. That's tomorrow from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. And this year, a demonstration on how to make marshmallows, how to make the best s'mores that you can. Mother Wilma's Marshmallow Factory, children's activities, and a pop-up science center. And of course, the chocolate demonstration. Monster Jam back at the Allstate Arena Saturday and Sunday. 1 o'clock on Saturday, 6:30 on Sunday. There's also a Saturday evening show at 7 o'clock as well.
What is Monster Jam? Trucks?
Trucks.
Okay.
Vic Vaughn's bringing his kids to that this weekend.
Okay.
And if you're into cars, auto show still at McCormick Place through February 20th, featuring 1,000 different vehicles. The Batmobile is there. You could dress up like a stormtrooper. It's very cool. Navy Pier is doing their annual Neighborhoods of the World series that kicks off this weekend as well, featuring authentic dances, food, and art from different cultures throughout the world. You can go to the Chicago Botanic Garden. Their orchid show continues at the Chicago Botanic Garden. It's a great way to dip a toe into spring at the always dazzling Botanic Gardens. Well worth a trip to the burbs. And T-Box is back. They have Bead Quest. This is a pub crawl. Our friend Chris organizes this. It's a pub crawl through Wrigleyville that they do every year. They're doing a Mardi Gras pub crawl tomorrow, February 18th.
Can I throw one in?
Please.
The auto show. Last weekend of the auto show.
Yeah, no, we said that.
Oh, yes, you did?
We're all good. Yeah.
I
can I add one?
Go ahead.
The RV show. I was at it yesterday.
She's trying to get an RV so she and Steve can ride
separately.
Oh, my gosh.
It was hilarious. I felt like an old retired couple walking around.
How much does an RV cost?
Oh, my gosh. They were so cool. I mean, anywhere up to
$200,000 for the ones that you drive in, the long ones that you drive. But the ones that you tow, we saw some really cool ones that were like $30,000.
I'm going to throw in the final one here, too. The Chicago Humanities Festival is debuting. It started last night. It goes tonight and tomorrow as well. And Trayvon Martin's parents are debuting their documentary called Rest in Power. Very powerful.
They
were in town. Channel 9 did a little preview on this last night. So Trayvon Martin's parents are going to show this documentary, and then they're going to be taking a Q&A after. That's all part
of the Chicago. They were on with us 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, right? They were on with us a couple weeks ago. It's all part of the Chicago Humanities Festival tonight and tomorrow. So a lot going on this weekend.
And congratulations to Mike Hillstrom and all the Chevy guys for the great Chevy display and the Chevy Family Fun Zone when you're out at the auto show. That should be your go-to. Dean Richards runs down the movie. Stand by for that. And then maybe my favorite insane moment from yesterday's presidential press conference. Coming up before 8:30. After 8:30, Coach Q on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah,
Dean Richards live at Channel 9. Good morning. How are you?
How are you, sir?
I'm fine. Thanks.
Yeah, is the show running like a fine-tuned machine today?
We are a fine-tuned machine. As a matter of fact, you could take this show, throw it in the Michigan Avenue right now, have it run over by a bus, and we'd still be running better than the administration's running right now. It's unbelievable. But I tell you what, for those of you who like a combination of drama and nausea, there's nothing better than a Trump administration. On your TV, I'm talking about.
I'm telling you, watch the movie network. See what your future's like.
Lou came on this morning and goes, you need some tea. You need to calm down. No, everybody else needs to be as pissed as I am. Everybody else needs to be as concerned as I am.
Lou was all wound up when he was here. You know, he was going to do the segment with you, but he stopped and chatted with us all, wound up, fired up. You know what I think? You know what this thing? You know, this it's like, wow.
I just have, again.
Help me fix my gutters. Relax.
We have a few more clips to play in a few minutes, but I just have one final request, Mr. President, because I know you're listening right now because you think I'm fake news. Please stop sucking at your job. Please, please. I really couldn't be a bigger fan if you would just stop sucking at your job. Don't mention Hillary Clinton anymore. Just focus. Focus. Focus.
Like a fine-tuned machine.
8:13. Want to review some movies?
Okay, sir.
Well, how's this fist fight thing?
Definitely worst movie of the weekend. Possibly, I cannot imagine how another movie's going to come along and beat it for worst movie of the year.
Oh, you're kidding.
Move over, Gigli. Move over, Showgirls.
You're kidding.
Move over every movie that Adam Sandler's made in the last 10 years.
It's that bad?
There's a new sheriff in town.
I am stunned. I mean, I thought it was cheap and
awful.
And, you know, in a paycheck movie, but I didn't know it was terrible.
It is those things that you just said, but it is, I don't want to, like, you know, overanalyze a stupid comedy. I mean, it's a comedy, but... This movie is, like, screamingly desperate to be, you know, one of these hard R-rated, irreverent
films. Oh, so every cheap joke possible?
Every genitalia joke, every body fluid joke, every... Well, first of all, the premise is a stupid that never takes off. There are two teachers in a high school. One is kind of quiet and milquetoast, Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and Ice Cube, bully, loud, violent... they get into a disagreement, and the way that it is, the way that this is going to be resolved is, I'll meet you in the schoolyard after school, man on man, teacher versus teacher,
as all school systems approve of,
adult versus adult, in a brawl. So the premise itself is kind of dumb. Take that, add on to what apparently the producers of this film thought would be even more hilarious. 90 minutes of Ice Cube snarling and Charlie Day screeching like a stuttering hyena. And, you know, it adds to the annoyance of this film. And so surprising because I'm a fan of Ice Cube. I'm a fan of Charlie Day.
Yeah.
They both do so much better work than this. They know, they have to know that this is not funny. Tracy Morgan, Jillian Bell, really a good cast who are completely wasted in this
movie. So is this a flat? It's got to be an F then, huh?
This is totally an F. And here's my biggest bone of contention with this whole thing. I don't think jokes about teachers molesting students is funny in any way.
Yeah, no, not good.
I don't think there's one scene in the movie in which little 8-year-old girl, the daughter of Charlie Day's character, is in the school play, and she's singing a song that is mostly F-bombs and MF-bombs.
That's ridiculous.
I don't think seeing a little child being forced to say those words.
No, ridiculous.
I don't care how much their parents, the parents who somehow thought this was okay for a little girl to do, I don't think that's one bit funny, one bit acceptable. I know it's comedy. I know comedy, you know, should take as mind candy, but this is not comedy. This is, it's embarrassing. It's desperate. Somehow Rob Schneider now looks like a thespian genius to me.
Wow.
After I got done seeing this.
This is as ridiculous as if Matt Damon ever did a monster movie.
I thought I was watching Son of Svengoolie, seriously, for when I was watching this movie, The Great Wall. Because, you know, it starts off in this really impressive, beautiful-looking movie. I'm thinking I'm going to learn a little something about The Great Wall. You know, and it's magnificent to see. They shot it in 3D. It's magnificent to see. Turns out all computer-generated, all little models of the wall, all scaled-down versions that they use. That's fine, too. It's still kind of magnificent to see. But then, unfortunately, the actors started talking and the plot started developing. And that's what kills this whole thing. And then, if that's not stupid enough, the attack on, you know, ancient Chinese society who are charged with defending the wall and therefore defending China. When the wall is attacked, it's attacked by man-eating monsters that look like refugees from an old Godzilla film festival. It's so trivializes this whole thing. It's a kind of a dull script. The performances are nothing special. These monsters are so ridiculous. It's not even funny. And so it's a shame because this is the first collaborative effort between the Chinese and American film industries, the biggest film that they've ever made in China. It's directed by their biggest director, features many of their biggest stars there. But this Matt Damon is the most recognizable character.
He obviously lost a bet.
Put in it. Everyone's got a mortgage to pay. This one gets a Dean's List D. Hugely disappointing. There is one really good movie, though, that's out this weekend that's called A United Kingdom, David Oyelowo, starring as he's a student in London. He meets an office worker, a young girl from London, an office worker who's white. They fall in love. They get married. And what she didn't know is that he is of royal lineage, in line to become the king of Botswana. So now this is all a true story, by the way. True story, as in with Steve, in line to become king of Botswana. I would love to see that ceremony. It's 1947, interracial marriage. Neither of the families are so crazy about this going on. Neither of the governments are happy about it. It's causing huge political ramification. And it's about this true international love story, which I had never heard of, that is fascinating. It's a very interesting political story. And it's still very relevant to interracial marriage and race relations today. Really well acted, delicate and elegant and powerful. Dean's List B, United Kingdom is what it's called.
All right, I know you got to run and do some TV. Thanks for doing this segment. And you on Radio Sunday?
With one of the wildest interviews that I've done lately, Mariah Carey going nuts about the New Year's Eve debacle on Times Square.
Wow.
About a two-decade-old grudge against the Grammys. What was supposed to start off as a very innocent interview with you yesterday.
Well, Dean, I'll be listening. This is great.
Turned completely nutsy. Mariah Carey on Sunday morning.
All right, crazy Mariah Carey.
Yeah. Yes.
Great. Thanks, buddy.
Bye.
It's 8:20 traffic, and we'll come back with more of the Steve Cochran Show. Coach Q from your Chicago Blackhawks at 840 on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Russia and the United States actually got together and got along. And don't forget, we're a very powerful nuclear country, and so are they. There's no upside. We're a very powerful nuclear country, and so are they. I've been briefed, and I can tell you one thing about a briefing that we're allowed to say, because anybody that ever read the most basic book can say it. Nuclear holocaust would be like no other. They're a very powerful nuclear country, and so are we.
This is why the term facepalm was invented.
I'm looking for my Advil. I'm not kidding you.
Nuclear holocaust would be like no other. Well, he's right about that. I mean, that's not fake. But like no other. Nuclear, we're not going to have another one. You get a nuclear holocaust, you're not going to get a sequel. Jim Acosta is the CNN reporter who had not been picked to ask a question in a long time. Because CNN, the network that made Donald Trump for the presidency, again, not fake news, actual facts.
Yes.
The network that actually apologized for putting him on too much in the early months of the primaries. That network, or the early months of the campaign, I should say, that network is where Jim Acosta works. And Jim Acosta, by all accounts, is a very fair reporter.
He's a great reporter.
So Acosta got to actually ask a question, but he was looking for some clarification on leaks and this constant harangue about fake news. Here's that exchange.
It sounds as though you do not have much credibility here when it comes to leaking, if that is something that you encouraged
okay.
during the campaign.
Fair question. Ready?
If I may ask you that.
No, no, but let me do one at a time. Do you mind?
Yes, sir.
All right. So in one case, you're talking about highly classified information. In the other case, you're talking about John Podesta saying bad things about the boss.
The information coming from those leaks is real, then how can the stories be fake?
No, the reporting is fake.
And if I look, may ask, look, I just want to ask...
Jim, you know what it is? Here's the thing. The public isn't, you know, they read newspapers, they see television, they watch. They don't know if it's true or false because they're not involved. I'm involved. I've been involved with this stuff all my life. But I'm involved. So I know when you're telling the truth or when you're not.
President Trump said the leaks are real, the news is fake. Okay, I want you to stop for a second and think about that. The leaks are the news. So, again, I used this as an example earlier. If I say you're Andre Darlis and he's Dave Ennett, and say you don't want people to know that, and I leak that out,
yes,
you're still Andre Darlis and Dave Ennett. If it's then reported, that's news of who you are because that's factual.
Well, the leaks are real. You're the one that wrote about them and reported them. I mean, the leaks are real. You know what they said. You saw it. And the leaks are absolutely real. The news is fake.
I don't even know.
You know
what does that mean?
How does that even make sense?
What drives me nuts is just the term fake news. What is that? Does he think, and I think he might think
well,
this.
You know, you can end it right there. Does he think? No.
Does he think we go out there and contrive stories and make up lies and report them? There's no such
thing
when
you go backwards,
as fake reporting or fake news.
When you go all the way back to Jeb Bush, remember he did the low energy Jeb thing. He's very good at labeling and then pounding that label into the ground. Little Marco, you know,
yes.
Low energy Jeb,
mm-hmm.
Crooked Hillary.
Right.
Fake news.
Lion Ted.
Right. You know, the Lion Ted. These are all the things that he tries to drive into the ground until they become part and parcel to his base. Now, if I hear one more conversation about his base, let me tell you something. His base 2 weeks ago was 44%.
Mm-hmm.
Now his base is 37%, and nobody's taken a poll after yesterday because I know there's a lot of really intelligent, smart, well-thinking, upstanding people who supported him and voted for him who, if they saw that yesterday, are scared, and they ought to be.
And they're saying, what just happened? That was the most, I had whiplash from watching that.
Just do your job. Just do your job. And to bring up Hillary Clinton 11 times when she's still wandering in the woods looking for Sasquatch, I never think about Hillary Clinton. I don't care what she does this. I hope she has a nice weekend. Other than that, I don't care what she does.
Crooked
she's not
Hillary,
on the radar.
Crooked Hillary, fuck.
He brought her up 11 times yesterday.
She was at an event with Bill Clinton. They were honoring, I think it was Maya Angelou. And somebody had asked her a question. And basically, she kind of gave the, I don't really care answer. at this point, what's she going to say?
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. Trump, by the way, is very concerned about Trump, as you know. And by the way, and just so people are clear, I don't believe Donald Trump wants bad things to happen to this country. I just fully believe with all of my heart and soul that he's an incompetent boob who should not be the president of the United States. That's not an assault on the office. That's an assault on the guy in the office. And that's my concern, that he is holding the job that he is not competent to hold. Because if you were honest, even as a supporter, and you watched that debacle yesterday, and you said, do I want that guy running my company? The answer would be no. The answer would be no. No questions answered in any way about the issues that really mattered and the positive things the company's doing, the United States, with him in charge. Great roaring Wall Street numbers. He spent 30 seconds on because he couldn't wait to mention Hillary again and how the press was mean to him.
Can you name any other president? I'm not talking someone who ran for president. Can you name any other president who's been this insulting and this distracting?
Nixon in his last crazy days, but he never got this bad.
Right.
Yeah. And, of course, we don't have any audio or video on Millard Fillmore. We don't know how bad that got at the end.
That'll be in your musical.
Yes, it will. Listen, it wasn't all fact-free. One last thing from President Trump.
I just see many, many untruthful things. And I'll tell you what else I see. I see tone. You know the word tone. The tone is such hatred. I'm really not a bad person, by the way. No, but the tone is such... I do get good ratings, you have to admit that. The tone is such hatred.
Yeah, no, I don't want you to think there's no truth in the press conference. He said two things were truthful. Wall Street's doing great, and he gets good ratings. There you go. It's 8:32, back with a big story next, and Coach Q coming up on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show. I looked on the chair.
Remember, each week, Coach Q spends hours going over the Who catalog and picks the Who song he wants to hear. Crank this up again. I won't get to get what I'm after till the day I die. Well, we are blessed to have the best hockey team in the National Hockey League and the best coach in all of hockey. Coach Q joins us now. And your week off wraps up. Did you do anything or did you stay in town?
Went to Colorado, had a couple of days up in the hills there. It was beautiful up there.
You're turning into quite the skier.
Well, you know, don't go fast and don't go adventurous. Kind of like, call it blue corduroy. You know, we go in the blues and groomed hills and kind of go slow.
I know nothing about skiing. I know there's a bunny slope and a black diamond. Where are you in between those two?
I'm above the bunny and a little below the black. So we like the blue.
And yeah. Your kids, are they big skiers?
Yeah, they all like to ski. Yeah, it's
you got one daredevil who goes black diamond on you.
I don't go though. They can go. I don't. Just take another course. See you in the bottom.
Yeah, don't break anything. I'll see you at the bottom of the hill. I'll buy the beverages. That seems to be the way for you to go. So, is this week off a good thing, a bad thing, or it doesn't matter? It is what it is.
It's tough to say. I know it's new for everybody. I think teams that have come out of this break have had a trouble that first game with a little bit of hasn't been as effective as maybe they would like to. But I think there's a lot of goodwill down the line that you can take advantage of. And I think that everybody, you know, be coming in here shortly here. Everybody be kind of in a good mood. I think a lot of the guys went warm and enjoyed themselves, I'm sure, and come back refreshed and re-energized. I know we had a nice little run going into it, and hopefully we can recapture that quickly here tomorrow night.
Well, we were talking a little bit about this the other day, and one of the suggestions that's been out there is that coming off the break, teams should be allowed to kind of ease back into it the way the schedule works. And I know it is what it is, but you come right back with back-to-back games and four out of six, four games in six nights. Would you prefer, if they look at this down the road, maybe a year or two down, that maybe you come back, you get one game, and then you get a couple days and another game, and instead of coming out with back-to-backs?
Tough to forecast that. I know that you're going to have stretches every season where you're going to look at it and you're going to say, okay, wow, we got 6-9, or we've got 8-13 games, and it's 8-13 days. And you're going to have a real condensed part of your schedule. I mean, this is all new to everybody. Tough to forecast that. I guess maybe you can look back at it, and each team could maybe say what their preference would be. But if you're going to tighten up the season and play it in a less condensed schedule there, it's going to be tough to even have open dates like that as you're going along. So it's almost like you're playing one game in 10 days or one game in 9 days. It's a, I don't know if that's what they're looking for either. So it's something that, I think they can look back at and maybe get a little bit more of an educated guess at the end of the year when you look back at how everybody handled it.
And bottom line, if you win tomorrow and you win Sunday against Buffalo, then schedule worked out fine.
Will be no complaints. There's no complaints anyways from our team. I think that one of the reasons why this came in, I think, is because the top guys, they don't get the All-Star breaks off. They don't get the Olympic breaks off. They don't get the World Cup off, and they're constantly being asked to play, and we have a lot of guys that fill that category, and I think that these guys get in a way where they're, they don't have any hockey on their minds for a few days. I think that's healthy for them, and hopefully they take advantage of it.
Edmonton's got one of the great young guns in the game. You've been coaching great young guns the entire time you've been in Chicago. Some of them getting a little old in the tooth. Some of the guys in the Blackhawks are almost 30. Oh, please, put them in a home. But you look at Edmonton, and nice turnaround on this team, and they're going to look like they owe you one tomorrow night, aren't they?
I think they're not going to be happy. We went in there unhappy the last time from what happened earlier in the year in there, and it was their first game out of the break too, and they've come back with a couple nice wins, and I would expect them to be hungry and eager tomorrow, and Connor McDavid is a special player. He's fun to watch. He's got some unbelievable speed and quickness to him, and so he'll keep us busy tomorrow night. I'm sure they'll be more ready for the start of the game, and hopefully we're ready to go, and we can recapture right away how we left it off at.
How do you guys measure speed with your points guys, your wingers? Is it first step speed, or is it just as fast as you can go from one end to the other?
Well, I think quickness and speed in hockey is like your first 1, 2, 3 strides, and
right.
And guys that you get some separation right there, you're going to be first to pucks, and once they some guys have that, once they're in motion and they have speed and they go from there, they take it to another level. He has different gears, and how quickly he gets to the top end of them is second to none in the game. And as a young guy, he's only going to get stronger and more explosive and dangerous from there. So he's got a great career ahead of him. It'd be fun to watch. I'm sure people in Edmonton are loving where they're at right now. But big progress from last year to this year with that team.
Any goalie news? I assume it's Crow?
No news is good news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you like that. Yeah. Less you have to think about those goalies, the better.
Well, it's... you look around the teams that have had ordinary stretches and tough stretches, and a lot of it, the goalies were okay, but they weren't great. And you'll see teams that all of a sudden their goalies are playing well. They've gone on some great runs this year, and there's been a number of teams this year that had significant winning streaks. You can look at Columbus, you look at Philly, I think the common theme there is the goalie got on a roll, and the team responded the right way.
And you got a little healthier on the blue line with Roosevelt back?
Rosie's back, and we'll see how he does today in practice. And I thought our defense had a great trip, and I thought across the board we had a lot of balance in our team game. But, we got a full complement of players now, and it'll be nice to see having some decisions to make game in, game out, who's playing and with who. But we like the consistency that we started to pick up here in the last little while.
And, of course, the most important question we could ask you, Coach, this week is, have you seen any of the episodes of Soup and a Sandwich?
No, I've not.
Oh.
No.
I assume you're waiting just so you can binge them all after the season? That's probably the goal, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, why not?
For sure.
Coach Q, getting ready to go to practice and get them ready for tomorrow night. We'll see you out there, Coach.
All right.
Thanks.
All right,
okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Coach Q, sponsored by Hooters.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Live from the desert, Kevin Powell, Been wandering in the desert for days. No one's following him. He's just wandering. As he reports on the Cubs and the White Sox. By the way, you can follow Kevin, if you like, on Twitter at KPaul720. Is that right?
That is correct. Yeah. And Steve, to answer your guys' question from a few minutes ago, the self-imposed fast food ban is still on.
Oh,
when was the last time you had fast food? Do you even know?
January 3rd, 2016.
That's very impressive.
That was before, remember, it was right before the New Year's Eve show.
Yeah.
It was right after that because the weekend.
Yeah, January 3rd generally is after New Year's Eve. Yes.
Right. So a couple of days after the New Year's Eve show.
It's very impressive.
Very proud of you, too, because you're running all over the place. It's probably easy for you to be tempted, and you haven't been, so way to go.
Well, chicks dig him because he rarely eats fast food, and when he does, it's usually unusual. All right, so you've seen the Cubs. Have you seen the White Sox?
Sorry, bro. I didn't hear you there, Steve. I'm sorry. What did you say?
I said, have you seen the White Sox yet?
I have not seen the White Sox. I'm planning on heading out to Glendale tomorrow. I'm outside of Sloan Park right now. I'm going to see the Cubs one more day, and we'll see the Sox tomorrow. There is rain in the forecast out here tomorrow, so that could kind of screw things up for both teams. There's thunderstorms in the morning, so Joe Maddon said they're going to kind of play it by ear there, so it may kind of screw things up. But haven't seen the White Sox, although Carlos Rodon, one of their starting pitchers, hasn't thrown yet. Well, other pitchers and catchers have been working out all week. He's just sort of been on the sidelines, and they asked Don Cooper, the pitching coach, Rick Renteria, and the team if he's healthy, and they all insist he's good to go. They're just sort of easing him into things. So he'll throw today, so we'll see what kind of reports we get back from that.
I think we can agree that Rick Renteria is electric. Yes.
He is electric.
Yes, yeah. It'll be very exciting. Dave?
Everybody on hand, all the position players, as far as we know, on hand at Cubs camp?
Yeah, I haven't seen everybody, but they're all pretty much here. I haven't seen Jason Hayward, but I know he took batting practice a couple days ago. So, yeah, they're ready to go here. A lot of these guys get here early. I mean, some of them have been out here in Arizona for the past few weeks getting ready. So they were itching to get back this week. And
well, that's one of the reasons this team is so good. They like their jobs, and they like each other.
Yeah, they really do. They all get along, and they all just seem to be on the same page. And I don't think they've really had any team meetings or anything like that. But when you talk to all of them, they all sort of have the same message that they're still sort of riding the momentum of the World Series, but a lot of them just said it's the same approach as the past few years at spring training. I mean, Anthony Rizzo talked about it yesterday. Chris Bryant talked about it. And Chris Bryant a couple of days ago said at this point, and this is how much different the Cubs culture has become, he says it's World Series or bust. If they don't win the World Series, it's a failure.
Yeah, well, it's the Blackhawks thing, one goal.
Right. It's whole new territory for this Cubs organization. So, everybody's kind of on the same page, and I think everybody's ready to get the full squad going tomorrow.
Did Joe Maddon drive the Scooby van in from Pennsylvania or wherever he was?
I haven't seen his 70s van, but he says expect something fun, one of his gimmicky antics that we've become used to tomorrow. He said he was saving it for the first full squad workout, so we're all kind of looking forward to seeing what Joe's got up his sleeve tomorrow.
Kevin, the hijinks and merriment I know already started. I loved your report, and I saw the video on Mad Dog kind of punking Chris Bryant being the sound guy.
Okay, you guys are talking baseball lingo here.
Oh, yes.
Mad Dog is?
Sorry, Steve. Greg Maddux.
Greg Maddux, yes.
And Chris Bryant, National League MVP.
Yeah.
Viral video.
Yeah, viral video. Greg Maddux was dressed up and disguised as a sound guy. Chris Bryant thought he was just sort of shooting a commercial video, workout video. And next thing you know, Maddux puts down the mic and starts throwing BP to Chris Bryant. And Bryant was obviously surprised to see a breaking ball and the amount of speed behind the fastball. So it was something fun. Joe Maddon, when we talked to him yesterday, said he hadn't seen it. But if you know anything about Greg Maddux, it's not that surprising. He's been known to pull pranks and things like that on teammates throughout his career, and hopefully we can talk to Chris about it some more today because we didn't have a chance to yesterday.
Maddox got a little retirement belly on him, or was that the sound package?
I was trying to figure that out. I didn't know if that was part of the disguise or if he's got a little beer belly going there.
Somebody's enjoying retirement. All right, so the number one question for the Cubs going into this is what?
Well, to me so far, the storylines for the Cubs have been and it's a good thing. It's a good question mark. It's a good problem. Is how do you get Kyle Schwarber in the lineup every day? Where do you play him? Because you have to have that kind of bat in the lineup every day. He was cleared to catch this week, but I think that's if we see him behind home plate this year, I think it's going to be, I mean, maybe five starts behind home plate, something like that. And it just does give Joe Maddon some more options where late in games, if he does want to do some defensive switching and depending on where the bats are late in the ninth or the eighth, he can move guys around. So it gives him some more flexibility there, which Joe Maddon loves. But Schwarber has been seen with Wilson Contreras and Miguel Montero, but expect to see him mostly in left field. But to me, I guess that's the biggest question mark, is how does Joe Maddon find ways to get all these quality bats in and get guys playing time? I think we could see a little pullback on Ben Zobrist. He's 35. He's the oldest guy on the team. And Javi Baez obviously has to get some reps at second base. You don't want to take his glove out of the equation. So to me, it's just good problems at this point for the Cubs. It's an embarrassment of riches, as it was last year as well.
And tomorrow, the White Sox and Kev will be on the beat in various places, and can call you at home if you want information. We're getting complaints from people watching CLTV that you got to quit wearing the Cardinal red. I think that's an Illinois State shirt you're wearing, actually, your picture.
Okay, I'll make sure I get no more Cardinal red out there. Yeah. I should add that tonight we're doing a one-hour spring training special from 10 to 11, Sam Panayotovich and I. So I'll be out here, and we'll play back sound from this week and recap everything and kind of do a look ahead on both teams.
We'll come back with Senator Durbin next. Thanks, Kev.
Bye, Kev. See
you later. More with Kev from the desert later, and Senator Durbin joins us next on 720 WGN. .922 back on the Steve Cochran Show. Senator Durbin joins us. I believe you're live in D.C. Is that correct, sir?
That's correct, Steve. How you doing?
I am fine. Nice to talk to you.
And good talking to you.
I want to start with condolences on someone I assume you knew well, the former House Republican leader, Bob Michael, who we found out this morning had passed away.
What a good guy. You know, each of us in public life should be so lucky as to have the headline on the story on Politico that Bob Michael's death occasioned this morning. It said, ex-GOP leader Bob Michael, face of decency in public service.
How about that?
How about that? I mean, it's a reminder to all of us in this public life that the end of his political career was the end of the era that everybody talks about. When are you folks going to get together? When are you going to work things out? Why do you have to be so personal? Why is this so mean and nasty? It was that transition from Bob Michael to Newt Gingrich that marked the end of an era.
Yep.
Michael was just the man from Peoria, the wonderful, decorated World War II vet who fought for conservative causes but was always a gentleman. I'm really going to miss him.
Yeah, and decency would be the key word there. Obviously, I want to get to the president. Before we do that, though, you met with his Supreme Court pick. And let me just preface this by saying I think what Mitch McConnell did last year was an embarrassment. I think the theft of a Supreme Court seat is unprecedented. I told the senator that when he was on, which is why he hasn't been on since. And I don't anticipate him taking my call anytime soon. But I think it's outrageous. And I hope the Democrats find a way to do the right thing here and give Gorsuch a fair hearing.
Steve, I'm going to be consistent. I said the Constitution required a hearing and a vote
right on
Merrick Garland. I feel exactly the same way about Neil Gorsuch. I met with him. He's a gentleman. He has an impressive resume of academic achievement, legal achievement, law clerk, overseas study, federal judge, all of the above. The real question mark, obviously, is his values, how he will vote. It's a lifetime appointment, the highest court of the land. And I said to him at the end of the meeting, I had a long list of things to talk about, but I've got one here that has come up on this list that now is at the top of the list. That is the relationship between the President of the United States and the judicial branch of government. It isn't just a matter of name-calling on tweets. It is now a question of presidential authority and the Constitution. I think before this presidency is over, we're going to test the limits of presidential authority and the limits of the Constitution. And the ultimate test is in the hands of the Supreme Court. That's why this nomination means so much.
Timeline, and as far as you understand it, would be what?
March for a hearing, which is not delayed. It's the usual course of events. in a vote probably a couple weeks afterwards on the floor of the Senate. With only one exception since Clarence Thomas days, every single Supreme Court nominee has had more than 60 votes. I think that's a good indication of bipartisan support, which should be the case on the Supreme Court. I think that Judge Gorsuch should be held to the same 60-vote standard.
I am, you know, becoming infamous for my lack of tolerance for President Trump's behavior. There's a certain amount of decency, to use the word again, that I believe goes with respecting the office, and I think he's shown almost none of it. He's accomplished a few things, but he gets in his own way of even focusing on those with the way he behaves. And I thought yesterday was absolutely outrageous. What's been the reaction on Capitol Hill in particular to yesterday's press conference?
This is day 29 of the Trump presidency. And so it is worth reflecting on two things. What has happened in his presidency that never happened before in the history of the United States? In his first 4 weeks, this president dismissed his attorney general. In his first 4 weeks, he issued an executive order, which was stopped by three different federal courts. And in his first 4 weeks, his national security advisor had to resign because of lying to the vice president of the United States. That has never happened before. He calls it a fine-tuned machine. There are some rough edges here, which really raise a question. Now, let's go back in time. 8 years ago, Barack Obama's elected president. We're losing 800,000 jobs a month. In his first four weeks, what happened? He passed a stimulus bill in the U.S. House of Representatives, then passed it in the Senate, and by February 17th, 8 years ago, he signed into law a recovery package for the American economy. So if we're talking about productivity in the early stages of a presidency, there is no comparison.
Senator, good morning. First of all, I've watched the entire press conference. I found it mind-boggling. I think the treatment of the media is unprecedented. Respect is a two-way street. So we really got no solid answers regarding Russia. So I'll ask you to use President Trump's words. Is Russia a ruse?
Absolutely not. 17 different intelligence agencies have told us what we knew already. Vladimir Putin and the Russians had set up, we think, 1,000 trolls who were sitting in some location, perhaps in Moscow, doing everything in their power to influence the outcome of our election. Now, how far did they go? This much, everyone said. They did not have an impact on our actual casting or counting of votes. So let me make that clear. But they did everything else conceivable to elect Donald Trump and defeat Hillary Clinton. Leak after leak. The fact that the Entertainment Tonight tape came out, and within 2 hours, the Russians were leaking information they had on John Podesta was no coincidence. And so what about it? Are there important questions to be asked and answered? You bet. Who was involved in coordinating, if anyone, with the Trump campaign and this Russian endeavor? We know now that this General Flynn, who has since resigned his position, had communications before President Trump was sworn in with the Russian ambassador. Who put him up to it? Who else was consorting with him? What members of the Trump campaign were involved? It's serious enough that the FBI is currently, it's been reported in the press, is currently investigating this so-called Russian connection. To dismiss it as a ruse is to dismiss the most serious cyber attack on the U.S. government in our history.
And the lack of welcoming the investigation says volumes, as far as I'm concerned, as well, as does a Russian spy ship 30 miles off the coast of Virginia, which is one of two things. There's only two ways to take this. One, you have a partnership with the president of the United States and you're Vladimir Putin. Or two, you have no respect for the president of the United States. So you're not even going to try to hide the fact that you're spying on the United States. Where is the urgency, as far as a level of urgency goes in Congress, to get this president between the white lines and to do the job he was elected to do?
How many ways can we count that the Republicans initiated investigations
right
into Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton? The Benghazi hearings went on for days and weeks and months, and they were all public. The hearings on the emails from Hillary Clinton went on for the same period of time, and they were all public. Now, what kind of hearings are being initiated by the Republicans when it comes to this Russian connection and the cyber attack by the Russians? So far, only one. The Senate leader, McConnell, has said he will allow the Senate Intelligence Committee to investigate. And let me tell you something. I'm skeptical. I served on that committee. They meet behind closed doors. The public will never know 95% of the testimony. testimony
right.
that comes in. It isn't a public hearing. And if they issue a report, it's classified. Who declassifies this report for the American
people? The president.
The White House.
Right.
The president. He has the last word. So this is as close to a slow walk and cover up as I've seen. I might add the House Intelligence Committee still doesn't think this issue rises to the occasion of any investigation. So in terms of this issue and the American people, we have a right to know. Secondly, what's Putin up to? He's testing us. He's testing how far he can go. I'm going to be visiting in the next few days over to Poland and to the Baltics and to Ukraine. I will tell you, in those three countries, they are scared to death. This next September, Putin is going to send 100,000 of his Russian soldiers into Belarus, a neighboring country, to have a military exercise. They are within minutes of invading Poland, invading Ukraine, invading the Baltics. I pray to God they're not considering it. But we've got to look at that possibility.
Yeah, and we didn't even have time to touch on the fact that we are maybe a consideration of ground troops in northern Syria and all the other concerns that are much more important than mentioning Hillary Clinton's name 11 times in an hour and 15-minute ego fest, which is what yesterday was. Senator, I know you got to run. I appreciate your time very much.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be with you anytime.
Thanks.
Thanks, Senator.
I think you could hear the emotion in his voice and the anger, frankly, in how this is being done. The president has an opportunity to turn this around. It's very early. The president and his people have an opportunity to turn this around and deliver on the promise that he made to the people that got him those 306 electoral votes. But he doesn't have much time. And the encouraging signs as far as getting him back between those white lines are the fact that now Jason Chaffetz, who's really been a coward in the way he's handled this, is now saying, yeah, maybe we have to look at it. There will be more independent investigations. And for anybody that wants to go, well, the government shouldn't leak. Well, until the government starts acting like the government should and does a job for the people, you can expect more leaks, not less.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Just relax. Just let me know if you'd like me to go a little bit harder or softer.
What?
What? This is why they don't play Metallica when you're getting a massage. It's Random Act of Kindness Day before we get to our friends here from Massage Envy. Dave, I just found out you're a member.
I am. I go to Massage Envy at least once a month.
Is it like when Norm walked into Cheers? Dave!
Well,
do you come in naked, or do you take your clothes off once you're inside? You don't leave your clothes in the car, do you? Just
No.
And do you take all your clothes off, or do you leave?
I don't think so. I think you leave your tidy whities on, don't you?
I think you can ask Mike that question.
Oh, and it takes it all off.
Mike's your man? Mike, hold on. Let me get your microphone on here. Mike, hi, Mike.
Well, I must say, when you come see me at Massage Envy West Loop, my name, I actually go by my middle name, which is Adam. So it's funny that we do that. It's part for security, but also for, just our own personal reasons.
But when Dave comes to see you, does he leave
I've
his
I've never met one? Adam before.
Well, yep. For security reasons, yeah. I understand why you'd say that. But does he leave his tidy whiteys on?
Actually,
so these are legitimate massage etiquette questions.
And they are. And I'd be honest with you, a lot of people, and I just want to put this out there right now for a lot of people, from a therapist's point of view, we can't say, hey, take, XYZ off. That's
right.
Just not proper.
I like to put on more clothes. Like I'll come in a snowmobile suit, just to see how good this masseuse
it's hard
is.
To work
but
out
I will
pecs,
say
but...
the barrier is when we talk about the consultation, the one thing you have to do as a therapist is make the client feel comfortable and
sure.
knowing that you're there to help them and say, hey, if you need this work, let me know. And, we kind of, implement that if you need hip work or
well, that's my experience. My experience has always been, do you have any aches or pains or injuries that we should know
exactly.
about?
Exactly.
Right?
And those things are all talked about in the consultation, which I think is
right.
the first most important part of the consultation because I want to know your body and, from top to bottom. I want to do a gait analysis. I want to look at your posture. I want to know what you do for work. These are all things
listen.
That are really important.
I can tell you this about
factor
Dave.
Into the, progress of your body.
Yeah. Dave's body is a wonderland. Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
yes.
Well, I think that might be between Dave and you.
No.
And now the world.
I'm not his masseuse. I'm just a fan.
His name's not really Steve either.
Yeah, right. I go by my middle name.
But you can say, you know, I don't want to be. I know the Swedish massages are tough, and I'd rather have them more gentle.
Well, Swedish is actually gentle.
Oh, it is?
Deep tissue. Yes. And here's the thing. There's actually, believe it or not, hundreds of massage modalities. The ones that are most common are Swedish deep tissue. I actually pride myself on my education. I moved from Chicago to Denver to study at the best school in the nation at the time, in 2005, DSMT. And one thing that really separates, I think, my presence with a client is the education. So if I can talk
you're,
to
well,
you about
you're a professional.
Rolfing
Listen.
And, you know, structure
sure.
and deep tissue.
Everything I've seen with Massage Envy is the epitome of professionalism. Mm-hmm. And you should be proud of that. You should be proud of that association.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, but just to go over some of these FAQs for massage.
Yes.
You can wear what you're comfortable in.
Yes, and we talk about that, boundaries, yes.
But having said that, if you're coming in, you know, thick clothing and things, it does make it harder to get the maximum benefit of the massage, right?
It does.
So what's the perfect scenario? Like if somebody said, let's just say dude, you can ask the girl questions because I'm not one.
Yeah.
For a dude. Just a guy in his underwear, right?
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah, a guy in, you know, like in my Tommy Johns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all you need.
Now, if that person's an athlete.
As I am.
They might need, as you are.
What are you laughing about, dude?
I'm not laughing at all.
Yeah. What about for women? What would you want to know?
I actually wanted to know. I mean, I do maybe a massage a year, and I know I should do more. And I slouch because of work. My shoulders need work. My neck.
As we all do, yeah.
Someone told me, and again, is this true or not, you should really hydrate before and after.
Because I cannot.
Does massage dehydrate you?
Yeah. Well, no, here's the thing. There's a huge difference in between muscles and tissue, okay? Tissue is a magnet water, and it supports the muscle. Okay, in that sense. Your body needs to be hydrated. We are 60% water. So if we're operating at an inferior level of that, you know, our bodies start to go into what's called a sympathetic signal, which kind of stresses the body out a little bit subconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
So even just something as simple as drinking 8 ounce glasses of water a day, you know, will really help the body move, sleep, feel more energy.
But what is it about the massage that makes you need to be hydrated immediately afterwards?
Certainly, moving things around. Anything where I am, you know, a stroke or a glide, okay, along the body, which is a lot of the massage content, will move blood, move lymph, move water, move that fluid. And the purpose is arterial versus venous blood flow. So if I can push that blood towards the heart, right, it'll filter it through the endocrine system.
And you thought it was just rubbing.
Yeah, no.
I'm fine.
Right. There's a little more to it than that.
There's a lot more to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. And then Dave is going to call your massage, much like it's a game at Northwestern.
You're not going to do it?
I got to do this. Yeah, I got to do this. And I get 3 or 4 a year, so you deserve this more than I do. So you're going to go into the massage chair.
This
and
is
then,
you paying it forward.
Yes.
Like this.
This is my random
act of kindness day. There you go.
All right.
And for safety purposes, our masseuse, Pedro, will go ahead and massage you. Now, one quick story.
Yes.
A few years ago, I'm in Scottsdale playing golf.
Mm-hmm.
And we walk 36, and I'm pretty stiff at the end of the day because, you know, I'm 27 now.
Yeah,
it's taking a toll.
Yeah.
So I go in, and it's right at the end of the day. And I never like going into anybody's business at the end of the day and going, hey, I know it's still open and all. I just felt a little guilty. Yeah. So I walked in and said, hey, is there anybody available? I totally understand if you can't do it, but is there? And a woman goes, yeah, Big Mike, Big Mike. Oh, I don't mean Big Mike, Michael.
Yeah, yeah.
Michael's here. She just slipped, said his name Big Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought it was some funny thing where a guy would come out from behind and he'd be 3 feet 7 inches tall. Big Mike was a former All-American lineman for the University of Pittsburgh.
I bet.
And when Big Mike came out, I made the mistake, and this is the point of the story. I made the mistake when he made the offer of what sort of massage you're looking for. You know, want to be impressive to Big Mike.
To say,
said, give me a sports massage.
Give me the deep tissue,
deep tissue sports massage. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
He broke me.
Uh-huh.
I was sore for a month.
Yeah.
Did
you drink water afterwards, though?
I'm still drinking water.
Yeah,
just from that massage, and that was 5 years ago. But the point being, ask for what you want. Not for what you think Big Mike wants.
Right.
You know, it's the end of the day, and I think Big Mike was a little angry, so he wanted to really get in there.
And if I may, Massage Envy, you know, at all locations, we have a lot of therapists that are really, really just great at what they do, and they all have special niches and walks of life that they try to, you know, put towards their clients. So by all means, make sure you read the books that we have up front that, you know, explain our bios. I think that's important too, because
yes, you know, maybe
you don't know that I did cranial sacral enrolfing, you know, and those are things that, you know, I don't know too many therapists do, but that's something that I personally pride. There's other people there that do reflexology and, you know, sports and stretching and, you know, things that will really be geared towards you, you know.
Dave, you had a question. I know, is tickling okay? And I think that's
that wasn't the question. I will say, though, that when I come out of my massage, the massage therapist is waiting outside the door with a cup of water for me.
That's comforting, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course. Do you guys get the aromatherapy or the like extra upgrades when you go, Dave?
Haven't done that.
Try the aromatherapy.
Try the whip cream.
What?
The whip cream.
To try the whip cream. No, I haven't done that. I don't think that. I didn't see they offered that. I have one question.
Yeah, we have 4 cents. Yes.
Optimal. I usually do an hour. My wife does 90 minutes when she goes.
Yep.
Is there an optimal length?
I personally like to see a person for 2 hours.
Two hours.
If I can see you for two hours and, you know, this way we can really.
But do you take a break at that point?
No, absolutely not. You know, 12 years I've been a therapist, so, you know, I'm conditioned.
Don't you have carpal tunnel?
No. I work out a lot. So, you know, maintenance. This is my life. You know, this is my career.
He goes to a gym that just does hand weights.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, it's exactly what it is.
I love your other title, too. Structural body worker.
All right, well, so when we come back, you'll be in the chair. Give me a 10-second answer on this. Quick last question on etiquette.
Yes,
do you like when people talk or not? Because people are nervous, they talk. No, I don't like my masseuse to talk too much.
I feel the vibe of the client.
Okay.
If the client wants to talk, great. If not, I'll just let it go.
Do you mind if I yodel if you hit the right spot?
Yeah. Well, just don't kick me. All right?
Back with Andrea in the massage chair. Dave, you'll give us a little bit of the call of this?
Oh, I'd be delighted, Steve.
All right, next on 720 WGN. .955, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We note with sadness the death of a funk pioneer. Juni Morrison died. Juni Morrison was one of the co-founders of the Ohio Players. Left and got with George Clinton and Parliament and Funkadelic. So just for a second here, while Andrea gets a massage, this is the perfect music to get a massage by. Just a little bit of Flashlight. The music of my people. Adam from Massage Envy is here, and Adam is giving Andrea a massage. Andrea, how do you feel? Let's go to Dave for the call.
Adam approaching for the right side now and has been working on Andrea's shoulders here for about 2 or 3 minutes during that break. Occasional sighs.
Moaning? Would you call it
a little
moaning?
Muck and occasional moan from Andrea, who appears to be enjoying this. Right now, Adam with a right leg lunge to really dig in a little closer.
Oh, is that what that is?
Dave, is this your first massage call?
I've not called a massage before.
That's very impressive. There's no question. It's very impressive.
But we need to know what part of the shoulder that is, Dave.
Well, that's
scapula.
Some medical.
That's a scapula.
Scapula.
Mm-hmm.
Scapula. Yep. Right now, Adam working on Andrea's.
Oh, and the scalenes. Oh, sure. Scapula and the scalenes.
Sounds like onions.
Weren't you in a band?
That's exactly right. No. What is the toughest area to work on for you?
The psoas.
And where is the psoas?
Okay, so...
Go ahead, grab her psoas. Yikes. It's fine.
But
That's fine, Adam.
if you touch your belly button... Right,
okay.
It's down straight about 3 inches and then either side about an inch and a half.
Oh, just above your special area.
Also lateral. So the reason why that muscle is so important so vital is... it really kind of balances the pelvis, which is the keystone of the body. So if you sit a lot at work you have, you know, a job where you're sedentary.
Work that psoas.
Yep. You need that attention. So yeah.
Interesting. All right. There you go. There's your massage lesson. Dave, we're going to go to break again here. Can you tell me an update?
Right now, Adam is moving right to left, directly behind Audrey. Now I'm working on her left shoulder with his left hand slightly forward, a grip on the back of her left shoulder. Mm-hmm. And now with the left thumb pressing into Andrea's left shoulder. She appears to really be enjoying this and relaxing.
And thanks to our friends at Massage Envy. Go to the website, order something up for your friends. Be kind, and Dave will come to your house or come to your local Massage Envy and do the call.
I will. I'd love Absolutely. To.
We'll come back, wrap it up in just a second. Oh, Andrea.
I need to come see you this weekend.
Me or Adam? Back in a moment on 720 WGN.